I won't bring up the past that you have offended him, him who has done you no wrong, him who has been good to you, that he did not demand justice, that he is the first to plead, even though he was the first to be wronged. Let's not consider these things at the moment. Shouldn't you be reconciled for this one thing alone, that he has done for you now? And what has he done? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for you. Even if he had accomplished nothing but this, consider how significant it would be to give his son for those who have wronged him. But now he has not only achieved great things, but also allowed him who did no wrong to be punished for those who did wrong. But he did not say this, but mentioned something far greater. What then is this? He made him who knew no sin, he says, him who was righteousness itself, to be sin, that is, to suffer as a sinner, to be condemned, to die as if accursed. For cursed is he that hangs on a tree. Galatians 3:13. To die in this way was far worse than just dying, and he also implies this elsewhere, saying he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:8. This involved not only punishment but also disgrace. So think about the tremendous things he has given you. It would indeed be a great thing for even a sinner to die for anyone. But when he who experiences this is righteous and dies for sinners, and not just dies, but dies as if accursed, and not only dies as accursed, but also freely grants us those great blessings which we never even hoped for. For he says that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What words, what thoughts can truly capture these things? He made the righteous a sinner so he could make the sinners righteous. Yet he didn't even say that, but something far greater. For the word he used is not the state of being, but the quality itself. For he didn't say made him a sinner, but sin. Not just him who hadn't sinned, but who hadn't even known sin. So we also might become, he didn't say righteous, but righteousness and the righteousness of God. This is the righteousness of God, when we are justified not by our works, in which case it would be necessary that we are free from all fault, but by grace, in which case all sin is removed. This both prevents us from becoming proud, seeing that everything is a free gift from God, and also teaches us the greatness of what is given. For what came before was a righteousness of the law and of works, but this is the righteousness of God.